The last couple of times I've spoken from Luke, because I'm going through this series in Luke called Jesus is for Everyone and the Gospel of Luke. And last time, or a couple of times ago, we saw that Jesus astonishes people. Jesus astonishes people with his mighty works. And we were looking at some of the different miracles that took place when Jesus started his mission, his ministry. And last time I spoke at the baptism with the challenge, will you follow Jesus? As Jesus started to call people, his disciples, to follow him. And today we're looking at the subject, Jesus loves outcasts, sinners, and despised people. Praise God. Jesus loves outcasts, sinners, and despised people. And we're going to see that's not just something I've made up. It's there, right there, in the Gospel of Luke. And there are three separate little but very significant stories in these verses from Luke 5, verse 12 to 32. The cleansing of a leper, the healing of the paralyzed man, and the calling of Levi, a tax collector, to follow Jesus. And these stories are linked by a common theme, and that is the amazing, life-transforming theme that Jesus loves outcasts. He loves sinners. He loves despised people. And first of all, we're looking at Jesus loves outcasts from verses 12 to 16. And Leon, I think, is going to come up and read to us Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. And I think it's great. We're going to have some young people reading the Bible verses today. So well done to Leon. Hopefully the mic will work.
Hello. Yes. Today I am reading from Luke 5, 12 to 16. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy, and when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Amen.
Well done. Thanks, Leon. That's great. So, I'm not so much focusing on the healing of these stories today, but you know, every man and woman who had leprosy in Jesus' day was a total outcast, rejected by everyone. Rejected by the Jewish religious system. This man was not only physically ill with a horrible, disfiguring disease, he was an outcast. He had lost far more than his health. Just imagine that for a moment. If it wasn't bad enough having this terrible disease, he had lost his family. He'd lost his friends. He'd lost his home. He'd lost his job. He'd lost everything, and it wasn't his fault. He had done nothing to deserve this rejection. He was simply suffering with a terrible infectious skin disease. It's not that people necessarily wanted to reject him and make him an outcast, but leprosy was a highly contagious disease, and people needed to distance themselves from this man. The Jewish religion did not allow people to mix with lepers. They had to be isolated. And we've got a new understanding of what it means to be isolated, having been through the pandemic. But he had to be isolated. He had to be separated from the people. This man was prohibited from all public worship. He wasn't able to go to the temple. He wasn't allowed near the temple. Anyone who could have contact with him or had contact with him immediately made themselves religiously unclean and unable, therefore, to take part in an active part in worship or in society. So imagine the impact just for a moment. Just imagine the impact when Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, reached out his hand and touched this leper. No one had touched him for years. Imagine what that touch felt like. To have someone touch you. That one touch from Jesus changed everything for this leper. It brought healing, but it brought so much more than physical healing. It brought hope where there was only hopelessness. It brought reconciliation. It brought restoration. It brought renewal. That one touch from Jesus brought restoration to all that this man had lost. It brought reunion with his family and friends. He could come back together with his family and friends. There was a mending of broken relationships through that one touch from the king. It brought reintegration back into the community that he'd been ostracized from. It brought renewed relationship with God. It brought renewed worship because he was now accepted back into the temple where he was free to join others again in worship and praise and adoration of his great and mighty God, who is even greater now in his estimation because God had healed him. He'd been healed through Jesus Christ. I just wonder whether someone listening today, either here at St. Stephen's or at Spittle Hill or through the live stream, and you feel an outcast. You know, it's easy, even when we are in a crowd, to feel an outcast. You're not going to be a leper, because praise God, leprosy has been healed and cleansed in so many ways. But you may feel like a leper. You feel rejection maybe from your family. You may feel rejection from your friends. You may feel rejection from the community around you. Maybe you are struggling with a stigma in your life. People seem to avoid you. Do you ever get that impression? You know, people seem to avoid you. Some people suffer from that. Maybe you're struggling with a mental health issue. Maybe it's a physical issue and you feel an outcast. Well, the wonderful news is you're not an outcast to Jesus. Praise God. Not one of us is an outcast to Jesus. You're not rejected by Jesus. Jesus does not despise you. Jesus loves you. Praise God. And he loves you as an outcast. He loves you as an outsider. And if you will cry out to him, he will reach out and touch you at your point of need. Just one touch from the king changes, transforms everything. It may be physical healing that you need. Just one touch from the king can bring that healing. It may be emotional healing that you need. Everyone else thinks you're fine, but inside you're screwed up emotionally. You're damaged. You may be abused. Just one touch from the king changes everything, brings emotional healing. It may be mental healing. You can't get those voices out of your head. You can't get those negative thoughts out of your head. Well, cry out to God. Cry out to Jesus, because just one touch from him can change and transform your situation. Just one touch from Jesus changes everything. Jesus can transform your life. He loves and accepts and reaches out to outcasts, praise God. And you know, not one of us is beyond the reaching hand of Jesus. Not one of us is beyond the transforming touch of Jesus in our lives. Just one touch from the King changes everything. You know, many of us here have experienced the transforming touch of Jesus in our lives. Just put up your hand if you've experienced the transforming touch of Jesus in your life. I'm going to put up two hands. Praise God. Wonderful. Jesus has completely turned our lives around. But maybe we've got family and friends who seem to be beyond the touch of Jesus. Some of them may be anti-Christian. Some of them may be atheists. Some may be prodigals who used to come to church but now are in a far country somewhere and they're never worshipping Jesus again. Can I encourage you? As a Christian, no one is beyond the reaching touch of Jesus. No one is beyond the reaching touch of Jesus in their lives. If Jesus can reach out and touch me, because you don't know what I was like before I became a Christian, then he can reach out and touch anyone and change them. Just one touch from Jesus can change and transform the hardest heart. It can change and transform the most sinful person. It can change and transform the most arrogant atheist, praise God. Keep praying for them. And there is a deeper challenge to us all in this little story. You see, we are called to be like Jesus. If we're Christians, if we've had our lives transformed by Jesus, we're called to be like Jesus. And that means that Jesus calls you. And he calls me to reach out to the outcasts in society around us. Whether it's the drug addict, whether it's the alcoholic, whether it's the pedophile, whether it's those who live a very different lifestyle from our own, Jesus calls us to reach out to the outcasts in society. And I praise the Lord that this church runs the Lighthouse Ministry to the homeless and the addicts, to people who are outcasts in society, that we run the food bank that provides food for people like that, that we run the CAP Debt Center for those who are struggling with debt, that we now run the Rock Welcome Church that we've just commissioned, reaching out with the life-changing message of Jesus to the outcasts in society. And praise the Lord for the dedicated Christians who are being like Jesus and reaching out to the outcasts of society. But what about you? Are you being like Jesus? What's your attitude to outcasts? Do you treat them like scum? It's a challenge to me. It should be a challenge to all of us. Do we treat outcasts like scum? Or do we have the attitude of Jesus who reached out to the outcasts, who reached out to the sinners, who reached out to the despised people? Jesus calls us to be reaching out to outcasts. Jesus challenges my attitudes and your attitudes because no one should be an outcast to a Christian. No one should be an outcast to a Christian. And no one should be an outcast to a Christian church, should they? And that's a challenge. Jesus loves outcasts, and he calls us to love outcasts too. Let's have a look at the second story. Jesus loves sinners, and Aaron's going to come up and read that. Luke 5, 17 to 26. Come on up, Aaron. This young man has been on television this week in calendar news, so it's great to have him start making a star appearance here today. So,
hello, everyone. Is this thing working? Did you say where I'm reading from?
Yeah.
All right. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in, because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lay him down with his bed, but threw the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." Thanks.
Thank you, Aaron. Aaron, believe it or not, is only 16, I think. I'm jolly glad I'm not a teacher in his school, because he'd tower over most teachers, I think. So, wonderful. Thanks so much for that. But there's so much, isn't there, in this great story. And, you know, it's often told in Sunday schools and all the rest of it. But I just want to focus very briefly on what Jesus said and did. You see, everyone expected Jesus to lay his hands on the paralyzed man when he was lowered down through the roof and heal him. But he didn't, did he? He didn't do that. He said to the paralyzed man, "Man, your sins are forgiven." You see, the paralyzed man and his friends all thought the biggest problem in this man's life was his physical disability. He was paralyzed. But Jesus knew that the biggest problem in his life was not that he was paralyzed physically, but that he was paralyzed by sin. Not that he was physically paralyzed. And if Jesus had healed this man straight away, he would have gone away healed and happy, wouldn't he? He would have gone away free from his physical paralysis. But spiritually, he would have still been spiritually paralyzed by sin in his life. His eternal destiny would have been hell rather than heaven. And that would not be helpful. So Jesus sees past the problems that we present him with. We think that life, don't we? We're all the same. We think that life would be great if only Jesus would answer our prayers for the physical things around us. You know, life would be great if you're sick and Jesus would heal you. Or life would be great if only I could get that promotion at work and that pay rise. Or if I can have those financial blessings. Or if I can get that next qualification in the exams that I'm facing. Or life would be great if only God would answer my prayers for a life partner. Those of us who are married know that's not true. And we go through that, those sorts of things. But the Bible tells us that God does not look on the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And God looked at the heart of this young man. And he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." You see, you might be physically fit and healthy. You may have all the financial blessings you need. Then do pass something in the offering basket when you go out. But are you paralyzed by sin in your life? Have you got sins and addictions you cannot overcome? Is sin stopping you from being what God has called you to be and do? You see, some of us are so paralyzed by sin that we struggle to believe that Jesus can even forgive us and set us free. And the devil constantly accuses us. What does he do? The Bible tells us that he accuses us. He is the accuser of the brethren and the sisters as well, by the way. And he tells us that we're beyond God's forgiveness. That we might have committed the unforgivable sin. That we might have turn back maybe from following Jesus. And it says some pretty serious words in the Bible if we turn back from following him. And so often we can feel condemned all the time because of the sin that's in our lives. But what did Jesus say to the paralyzed man in verse 24? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Praise God. The Son of Man, that's Jesus, has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. Jesus has authority on earth to forgive sin. That means he has the authority on earth to forgive your sin and my sin. Praise God. And through Jesus, we can experience total forgiveness, total cleansing, total freedom, total healing. It's not that we don't sin anymore, but Jesus has forgiven us, total forgiveness. And so I simply ask you, are you paralyzed by sin in your life? Repent of your sin, come to Jesus, and he will forgive you and set you free, praise God. Because Jesus loves outcasts, and Jesus loves sinners. You know, I think the most wonderful thing to me is that Jesus' nickname, when he was here on earth, people taunted him with it, was that he was friend of sinners. Jesus, friend of sinners. And that means he can be your friend. It means he can be my friend, praise God. It's wonderful. Let's have a look at the last story. Jesus loves despised people, and Joy is going to come up and read that to us in verse 27 to 32 of Luke chapter 5. Paul, can you do the honors with the mic again?
Good morning, church. I'm reading from Luke 5. Verse 27 to 32. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with him. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call righteous, but sinners to repent.
Wonderful. Thank you, Joy. Beautifully read. Thank you. You know, people in Jesus' day despised tax collectors even more than they do today. And that says something, doesn't it? They were despised traitors. They were collaborators with the enemy. They were swindlers of the Jewish people. They were despised by the Roman occupiers, and they were despised even more by their own people, the Jews. They were Jews who worked for the occupying Romans, collecting Roman taxes from their own people. And they made a fat profit. So the Romans said to the tax collectors, you've got to get 20 quid from this person. And they would go to that person and say, you owe 30 pounds. They pay the 20 pounds to the Romans and they keep the 10 pounds for themselves. And so the tax collectors were swindling their own people. And they were out to make as much money as they possibly could. Don't get ideas of how to do that from this. So they were the loan sharks of today. They took advantage of their own people for personal profit. They drove people into poverty and into debt. And good religious Jews, the sort of Jews who would go to the temple, the Jews who would go to the synagogue, hated tax collectors because they were collaborators with the devil. They were unholy, they were unclean, they were immoral. And Jesus goes straight up to this tax collector, Levi, and commands Levi to follow him, and he follows him straight away. And everyone around Jesus at that point would have been just totally shocked. Because Jesus, as a Jewish rabbi, should have nothing to do with a tax collector. Here is Jesus saying that he's the Messiah, saying that he's the Son of God, initiating a conversation with a despised tax collector and commanding that tax collector to follow him. It was as though Jesus had absolutely no idea who Levi was. Now, everyone else would be around. What's he doing now? You know, first of all, he's touching lepers. Now he's talking to tax collectors. It's crazy. This man's mentally unstable. Didn't Jesus know that Levi was totally unsuitable to be a disciple? Totally unsavory character, very unpopular. He was completely the wrong person to have as a disciple of Jesus. But the reality is that Jesus knew exactly how unsavory Levi was. He knew exactly how sinful Levi was. And that's precisely why Jesus commanded Levi to follow him. Praise God. Jesus didn't come to save and rescue nice religious people. Did you realize that? He came to save and rescue unsavory people like Levi. Despised people, rejects, traitors, the biggest sinners. And I'll say simply to you, do people despise you? Have you been more interested in making money for yourself than caring for those around you? Have you been taking advantage of situations? Have you made some bad choices in life? Jesus came to save and rescue you. Praise God. And he invites himself into your life to change and transform you. And you won't regret it. If you're already following Jesus, think of the worst person that you know. The person you least think would ever become a Christian. Do you realize that Jesus loves that person more than you could ever know? That's amazing, isn't it? He came to save and rescue them. Start praying for them to get saved. You will be amazed when God answers your prayers. Jesus is much more likely to save someone like that than the nice person you're sitting next to in church who thinks they're a Christian because they were brought up to go to church. Because Jesus didn't come to save those who thought they were okay. He came to save the outcasts, the rejects, the despised people. Just finish with a little story. Totally true story. 30 years ago in my last church down in London, a divorced single parent mum with a pretty sordid past had a life totally transformed by Jesus. Jesus touched her life, totally transformed her. And the wonderful thing is she knew a whole load of other people who desperately needed Jesus in their lives too, including her ex-husband and father of her son, who was in prison for GBH, that's grievous bodily harm. He came from a notorious criminal family. He wasn't a particularly nice person at all. And this single parent mum, whose life had been completely turned upside down for Jesus, started praying for her ex-husband, started writing to him in prison and telling him how Jesus had transformed her life and how he needed his life transformed by Jesus. She definitely didn't want him back as a husband. That wasn't his motivation, her motivation at all. She definitely didn't want him back as a husband. There'd been too much water under the bridge. But she knew that he desperately needed Jesus in his life. And you know, through her faithful witness and prayers, Jesus reached out and touched that man in his prison cell. And he became a Christian. And when he got out of prison, we had the privilege of him sharing his testimony in church. And he was baptized with his ex-wife and his son supporting him. Just one touch from the king changes everything. Even the toughest criminal can be changed by just one touch from Jesus. So praise the Lord for Jesus' words in verses 31 to 32. Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician," that's a doctor, "but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus did not come to save the religious people who thought they were good and godly. Jesus came to save sinners who know they're sinners, who know their sin separates them from God, who know that unless Jesus saves and rescues them, they will never be forgiven, and they will face an eternity separated from Jesus. So let's praise the Lord that Jesus loves outcasts. He loves sinners. He loves despised people, and he invites them to come to him as outcasts, as sinners and despised people, to come and follow him, to find forgiveness, to find freedom, to find a future that's totally transformed for this life and for eternity. Let's just stand together, shall we? Let's pray. I'm going to ask Franco to come up, and we're going to sing that great song, "Just One Touch from the King Changes Everything." And what I want to do, we haven't done this for a while, but I just feel it's the right thing to do. If you know that you need the touch of Jesus in your life, it may be for physical healing. It may be because you've felt that you have been an outcast. It might be for all manner of different reasons, but if you feel today that you need that, just that one touch from Jesus, as we sing this song, don't be bashful. Just come forward to the front. I'm going to ask Peter and Pam and the prayer ministry team here, members of the prayer ministry team, just to come up the front. If you come up now so that people don't feel as though they're the only ones coming to the front. If you just want one touch from the King, these people can't change them. One touch from them won't transform your life, but they can pray that you experience that touch from Jesus and that it transforms your situation. So you just come as we sing. And the truth of this song, "Just One Touch from the King Changes Everything."
There's a battle raging.